Hello, my friends. It's about that time that we continue our Infinity Saga rewatch with Avengers from 2012 tomorrow. Me and Ashley are going to be talking about that. But in the meantime, as I've been doing, I'm going to drop our 2015 review of that movie, the first time we ever talked about it here on the show. You guys can watch, those of you who want to, can listen to both of them and compare and contrast and see what it was like, 8 years ago when we talked about this movie and from a completely different perspective and our weird, predictions that don't come true and stuff like that. It's fun. So please check this out, and we'll be dropping tomorrow in the feed 2012's Avengers from the perspective of today, and just generally talking about the movie and what it looks like with the entire Infinity Saga in the review. Enjoy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matt Carroll.
I am Jeff Randall.
And we are here tonight to discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe. All things Marvel Cinematic Universe, but specifically tonight we're going to be discussing 2012's Avengers.
Marvel's The Avengers.
That's correct.
Because we don't want to confuse it with anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Even the other said the Avengers.
I think I said 2012. Come on.
Yeah, you said the year. We still don't want to confuse
just had
with
to
that
correct me.
Uma Thurman thing.
I don't mind getting confused with Uma Thurman.
Yeah, but that one was bad.
All right, guys. We're going to talk about Avengers in 3, 2, 1.
Everybody gets together.
Yay, assemblage.
Assemble. Hooray.
Johnny Five, assemble.
Really?
I don't know.
Wow.
Disassemble.
Stop it.
Johnny Five alive. Okay, Avengers. Sorry, that was my Vision impersonation.
God, would you quit? We're trying to focus on the first one, and then, not terrible movies from, the 80s? Oh,
are you saying that's terrible? You need to rewatch it, my friend.
Okay, that's fair.
It's super great. Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2. Wonderful. All right.
Was it 80s? 70s, 80s?
80s, 90s? I'm pretty sure 80s.
Okay.
Okay. Still. Avengers. Thoughts, my friend.
Assemble.
Just throw them out there. Thoughts. What you got?
Thoughts. Thor's showing up was awesome. I would say that. But, a lot of people say that... hold on.
Thor showing up. Let me start this. That was predictable. I could have guessed that that's what you'd say.
Yeah. Not the first thing.
What did you think of Avengers? Thor was in it!
Thor was great! So, wait, what? there were five others, right? But no, a lot of people or a lot of news stories, we've been talking about how, they're not going to do origin stories anymore. Like with Spider-Man, they're just going to take for granted how, everybody knows how Spider-Man came to be. And that's been this huge thing. Oh, they're not going to do origin stories. They're just taking information for granted. They have done that before. And this movie is proof of that. You didn't get an intro, an origin on how Cap came to be or how Iron Man came around Hulk.
You did.
You got the tiniest little bit of
but you did in another movie.
Yeah, you did in another movie.
This is a sequel to those movies, so that's not really... You didn't, however, for Black Widow, Hawkeye. You didn't... you got a small snippet of it for Hulk in the Hulk movie.
Yeah.
But that's not really... This movie is an origin movie.
It's an origin of the Avengers.
It's for the
team. It's not an origin of everybody individually. They just take for granted that you know who all these people are.
Sure. But that's because
I love that.
It's a sequel to those other four movies.
Yeah.
Five movies. Sorry. The five movies of phase one.
Yeah.
Six counting Avengers. Yeah. I definitely like that they don't hold your hand and retell anything. There's like, these are the Avengers. Hope you watch those other four movies.
Yeah, and since it came out like right after Cap, they had to go through the whole like, oh yeah, we thawed him, and now he's here and he's okay. So like,
yeah, they did that
in flashbacks. Like, yeah. Oh my god, this guy's still alive.
Yeah, that was just kind of weird that they did that because they didn't do that for anyone else. I guess that was more of a creative choice because it was him punching the punching bag, thinking about those things.
Yeah,
I don't think that was for exposition purposes.
And did you notice when everybody was showing up, when they were gathering the whole team together, each character, whenever they were focused on one individual character, had their own kind of like cinematographic style.
Huh.
Like when it went to Cap, it had like that.
Oh, that
antique,
yeah, that's for
haze,
sure.
Where it looked like the first Avenger period. Mm-hmm. And then like when it was on Iron Man, it was everything's all flashy and bright and stylized and modern. When Thor showed up, everything got kind of like they were in a forest. Like everything was very, very mystical and magical. Like, I love that they did that.
They did a great job in this movie. Every time they introduce a character to another character, which is what this movie's about. It's about taking all of these disparate characters that have been in all these movies and putting them together, and you get to see how those characters interact.
Yep.
And every time those characters' interactions happened, it was awesome. You see, for a second, you see, you know, Banner and Cap, and then Black Widow and Cap, and then Banner and Black Widow, and you just like see these little like four-line conversations, and it just like sums up every character as you go, and I just thought that was awesome. It was beautifully done. And by the way, I'm not sure Tony and Cap have ever been friends.
Yeah, like watching it now, you're just like, oh my god, they want to kill each other.
Knowing
like,
knowing that Civil War is coming, like they don't come together in this movie. Like they do physically, but they don't ever like resolve their differences.
they work together, and like Tony acknowledges that Cap is like the shot caller when he says, you know, call it Cap, and then Cap gives everybody their orders, and then everybody does it like they're supposed to, which is awesome, by the way. But like, they never really figure out their differences. It's just like, okay, we need a leader, you're clearly the best for it, and do the thing. I'll follow what you tell me to do right now.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, even up until Coulson dies, they are at each other's throat. And then when Coulson dies, they're sad and they know they need to stop Loki, but they're not like, oh, now I respect you. You know, like there's never really that moment in this movie. And I mean, after.
And there still is
the battle.
There still isn't in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, they're at each other's throats in Age of Ultron too, because he's again like messing with things that Cap doesn't think he should. And
yep, that seems to be a recurring theme. Like Tony screws something up, and then Cap has to lead the team to fix it.
Yeah. By the way, the fact that they call the Hydra weapons that they're building Phase Two was very funny. the whole movie, he's like, get Phase Two on a truck. We can't show them Phase Two yet. Or like, it's just silly. I did think it was particularly funny though that Phase Two had a lot of focus on Hydra. And the fact that what the Phase Two weapons were basically
Hydra weapons. I mean, there were the Hydra masks in the boxes.
And the fact that we know that in S.H.I.E.L.D. at that time, probably the people pushing to make those weapons were Hydra. And so it's just funny that they're like, little shout out to Phase Two, because that's what Phase Two is going to be about.
Yep.
That was really, really, really fun.
How many Hydra people do you think were on the helicarrier?
Oh, it had to have been a lot.
Do you think...
The guy playing Galaga, for sure.
Oh, yeah, obviously. How many... What, you know, you remember Hawkeye said you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. has no shortage of enemies. How many people do you think just jumped to Loki's aid that were from Hydra?
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
He didn't have to put his spear into their chest.
Yeah.
I don't know. So many of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents seem so valiant in this movie, but any of those background characters could have been Hydra at any point, you know?
Yep. We know there was at least one. Jasper Sitwell was on the helicarrier.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
Does he have a line in the movie?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Okay. I kept seeing him in the background of shots. And
well, he talked about how they were scanning all the faces and everything, or scanning all the cameras and everything for Loki's face, and they were looking for matches and whatnot. Like,
okay,
he was part of the search group.
I knew I saw him around, but I just like saw him a couple times where he didn't speak, and I don't think I ever saw him speak. I guess I just missed it. There's so much happening in this movie. It's actually so fast and quippy.
His computer is the one that discovered where Loki was in Germany, in Stuttgart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I loved that scene. His
big monologue.
Yeah, and I love the old German man standing up to him.
Oh, God. All the feels right there, man.
Yeah. There are
not the men like you. There are no men like me. There are always men like you. Oy!
So good.
And you know he's talking about Hitler, obviously. And then when Cap comes in, you know, last time I was in Germany and saw a man standing above everybody else, we ended up disagreeing. Like, are you kidding me? All the parallels?
Yeah.
Ah!
It was great. I love when they come to Banner and they ask him to come stop this great power source from exploding.
What do you want me to do? Swallow it?
What do you want me to do? Swallow it? It's pretty great.
That would work. That would so work.
Speaking of that scene, Black Widow convincing, and they call it out, but just from the moment I saw that little girl come with her money, and she does such a great job of acting.
Yep. Acting while also acting.
Yeah, so good. And so good that that's Black Widow doing that. And and she calls it out. She's like, they start spies that young? And she says, I did.
Yeah.
Just great stuff. And of course, Black Widow's first scene is we've been introduced to her in Iron Man 2. I loved her in Iron Man 2. She's a badass. We knew she was a badass.
Yep.
But she's so good. Such a good spy. When she interrogates him, and then even better, when she... I'm in the middle of an interrogation.
This moron is giving me everything. He's like, I don't give everything. And she looks at him like,
really?
Come
really?
On.
Really? Come on.
Come on.
And then she does the same thing to Loki, which is just awesome.
Yay, parallels.
She's such a strong character. I love every moment she's on screen in this thing. And she's one of the most impressive Avengers for being a human. Like, you buy that she's just, like, powerful enough and deceptive enough that she's, like...
She's actually a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And, like, Hawkeye calls it out on her, at least... later, after he has his cognitive recalibration happen, he says, you're a spy, and now you want to march into the middle of a war?
Mm-hmm.
And of course she does, because she can handle it, but also she feels the genuine need to be helpful in this. Like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We got to fix it. Whoever's left, we all have to fix it.
Yeah. Man, she's so convincing. So convincing in that scene with Loki. Like, as the audience, you're watching it, you're just like, oh, man, he's really hurting her with his words.
Yep. And the thing he calls her, Mewling Quim, like, that's some next level insults.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Everything he says to her is so evil.
Yeah.
It's just a real, like, Hannibal Lecter moment.
Every time you see him on screen, he is the most sinister-looking person.
Yeah.
Except for when he got the living shit kicked out of him by the Hulk, and he's laying on the ground going, "Ugh!"
Yeah. Yeah. So, what about Hulk in this movie? What did you think?
I liked... I really liked Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. Like, this was our first encounter with him, and still, he is the best Bruce Banner. And, like, his... The mocap that they do and, like, the change up to make, like, his features into the Hulk was a little weird, seeing Hulk with a hairy chest. A little off-putting. It's whatever. I'm not used to that. And Hulk having kind of curly hair when he was on the helicarrier. It was a little different. But I love it. I love Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner and as Hulk. Like, when he says puny god and is walking away from Loki.
Classic.
Oh my god.
Totally classic.
And the fight between him and Thor. Every single time I watch that, I'm just on the edge of my seat. It's so great. Just seeing two such incredibly powerful characters going at it, one of them being so much smaller than the other one.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing I really liked in this movie, was that even though all of their sources of power are so different, the four of them are so equally matched.
Yep.
When they're all in the forest going at it, like, you really get a sense that the three of them that are there are very equally matched. You know, Thor with his, you know, alien powers, and Stark with his technology. They just go at it, and it's like, oh, okay, they're kind of on the same level. They really are, like, you know, and it's just such different sources of power. It's so great.
And then Thor crushing Iron Man's gauntlets.
Yeah.
Like, they were hand-in-hand, or arm-in-arm, or whatever. They were just fighting back and forth, and he just starts crushing his gauntlet. And he, like, fires the blast and headbutts him, and Thor looks at him like, excuse you? And then just headbutts him across the forest a bit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then, when they did Mjolnir meeting Cap's shield, the vibranium shield, like, that would cause an explosion.
Yeah, which is great that they did that.
Great that they did that.
By mistake in the first one, and in the second one, they used that.
Yeah, that became, like, their new group tactic.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like they're all lining up. Oh, well, they're eager to be knocked down. Plow!
Yep.
And then it just blows the tank up.
Awesome.
Think about how hard he had to swing that hammer for that to happen.
That's hard.
A lot of force.
Yeah, man.
That would hurt.
He's Thor.
Yeah, he's Thor.
Oh, man. Loki saying, you don't like a little lightning? I don't really.
I'm not really terribly fond of what comes after.
Yeah. Pretty great.
I'm not overly fond.
Speaking of Loki, I love Banner's line when
his brain's a bag full of cats.
That's that. But when they're listening to him speechify in the cage or something.
Yeah.
And it cuts out to Banner, and he's like, huh, he really does grow on you, doesn't he?
I love that Mark Ruffalo as Banner can be funny about everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can be quippy, too. Banner's not just scared.
He's quippy, but in, like, a very dry way.
Yeah.
None of the others are. Like, they all have very different senses of humor. What did you think of Cap on a rewatch? What did you think of Cap? We had talked, one of our listeners had written in about
Cap being so different.
Cap being so different in this in comparison to his two movies. Did you feel that way on a rewatch? You had agreed at the time.
I still feel that he was a different kind of Cap. He was a lot
in
more.
In what way? Do you have
the. I'm explaining that. He was a lot more like. A lot more solemn and reserved, and it felt like he wasn't as confident. And in Cap 1 and Cap 2, he seemed a lot more in control and confident and Cap-like. But
I totally agree.
It might just be that he just woke up.
That was my take on it. Like, he does seem super unconfident. Totally agree. But one of the moments where he seems most unconfident is them sitting around the table planning. And not only does he not know how to deal with this world,
like, he doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, when he's like, finally someone that speaks English. Is that what just happened? Cap says. I just took him being less confident as he's now the fish out of water.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to deal with modern world in general, much less like top tier technology, modern world, and aliens. Like, he's already dealing with modern world, and now he's got to deal with aliens but on the same day. You know, like,
yeah,
this is, yeah. And we didn't really get the chance to see what post wake up Cap was going to be like in Cap 1, because he wakes up and then it's over.
Yeah.
This is our first chance to see him adjusting. And I just took that, all of that weakness that he seems to have, as just him adjusting to a new environment. But I definitely see that he is different, but it just seemed to me like a response to what's happening.
He's on the helicarrier. That's the newest, most crazy thing he's seen.
Yes.
He has to give Fury $10 because of that.
I love the $10. I love the subtlety of it. He just whips out the $10 and gives him the $10.
So he's got that happening. Technology's crazy. He meets Stark for the first time, and then Thor shows up. Like, they're dealing with aliens and all this craziness.
And
like,
then an alien invasion, which no one in the room is okay for. Yeah. It's crazy. There's a lot. He's got a lot to deal
with. He's got a lot going on.
I love there's only one God, ma'am. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
I love that he calls Black Widow ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
He does not do that later.
Yeah.
Like in
Cap 2. In Cap 2, he adjusts to the new world.
Yeah.
He's a lot more adjusted.
But he's still got his old school ideals, which is the great thing about him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love in this when they're talking about flying monkeys. He's like, I get that one.
I did. Yep, monkeys. I did. I understood that reference.
So great. And so great.
And then the cut to Banner and Tony. And Tony's just like, Jesus, shut up.
And he then
rolls his eyes so hard.
I really want to get a picture of Thor holding in his arms Iron Man when they like crash to the ground together at the end.
Oh, you mean Hulk holding him in his arms?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. Hulk catching Tony and holding Iron Man in his arms as they fall to the ground and just put Science Bros over the picture. This is like, I don't know if there's a good shot of it, because as soon as they land, he like pushes him off. But it, like, it's such a sweet. He's like,
there is a good freeze frame of that, because I kind of paused it right then, you know, as I was watching it, and I just happened to look up and it's like, oh, that's weird, because like Iron Man is completely limp, just like ragdoll in his arms, and I was just like,
it's like
I remembered him being more stiff.
It's like a gorilla with a kitty. Like, that's what it looks like.
yeah, that's it exactly. Who's the Mewling Quim now?
Man, I took a bunch of notes of just like great lines and stuff, but I don't want to like just sit here and
you don't want to just sit here and quote the movie again.
Yeah, like everyone just go watch it. It's so good. I thought it was cool that in both the opening scene, now that we know where it's going and we know who Thanos is, and we even know what the staff is, and we know what the Tesseract is.
You know, speaking on that, they kept harping on in this movie over and over and over again that the scepter was powered by the Tesseract.
They only say it once.
They say it, but they keep going back to it, though.
They do talk about the scepter as if it's...
like, it shares the energy signature of the Tesseract. It's powered by the Tesseract, is what Fury says.
Yes, and
it functions a lot like a Hydra weapon, and... damn it, I remember there being at least one more. But it's gone now.
So what were you going to... What's...
It's just, they keep harping on that, and then they completely change it up for movie number two.
Age of Ultron. I feel like that's pretty explainable, given that that's probably the only...
once they understood more about it. Infinity
Stones there are. Like, that they've encountered.
Of course they seem the same. They're both Infinity Stones. Yeah.
Although it seems like the two Infinity Stones are very different.
Yeah. Very different in nature. Here's an interesting thought. I didn't think about this until I watched it through this time. It looks like Loki is captured in the little prison, the glass prison, whatever, on the helicarrier the whole time. What if that's just a magic form of him in there the whole time while invisible Loki is running around on the ship messing with everybody? Because he's proven in Thor that he can be invisible and walk around, you know.
That's interesting. I was wondering, so there is a whole thing going on where we're supposed to believe something is making them go at each other.
Yeah.
Like someone's, Loki is vexing them somehow. It seems like it's coming from the staff. When I first watched this movie, I thought the staff itself was affecting their brain somehow, like causing and dissent or so or whatever.
It was the mind gem, right?
Yeah. So maybe he was, is it the mind or the soul? I'm fuzzy on all that.
Oh God, now you got me. Now you got me nervous. I'm not sure.
I thought it was the soul gem. Which is why Vision came
to
life.
It's the heart. It's the water, fire,
heart,
earth, hair.
Captain Planet gem.
It's the Captain Planet gem.
Hair? Where did hair come from?
It was heart and air mixed together.
Oh, okay. Earth, wire, fire. Earth, wire. Shit.
Earth, wire.
Wire, hair. Our powers combined.
LEDs. Soundboard. Or is this a techno gem? What's going on?
I just had a really funny thought of another YouTube video we could make, but I'll never make, so anybody out there can feel free. It's like you get to the earth. I don't know why this makes me laugh, but you just get to the earth wire, earth, fire, heart, water, and they just keep doing it and saying different things. Like it just keeps going. Like the video.
There's just too many rings.
It's like kind of that Family Guy funny where it just keeps going for like 7 minutes. So they just keep naming things and sticking a ring in the air. I think it'd be real fun.
Is it? Would you say it would be the same five or like too many rings?
Just too many. Like just lots of people.
Lots of people with weird colored rings.
Yeah. You'd have to like do a little fancy editing.
Lungs! What? Well, you said heart.
And then, like, find a good clip of Captain Planet being like, like, looking around funny. I don't know. I think it'd be fun.
Maybe.
All right. I actually don't... It's been a long time since I've seen this. From beginning to end, paying attention. I've seen a lot. I put it on sometimes just to watch.
Just to have background noise.
Especially that last 45 minutes or whatever.
Oh, yes.
The battle sequence is like 45 minutes long, and it's insanely good.
It's so good. That's how you do a last half of the movie is battle sequence battle.
Right.
You don't have to destroy the city.
No. No, you don't.
Listen, Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Take that. Yeah, this is another Marvel people coming at you, Snyder. One thing I never noticed, though, or did not remember, was that Coulson accepts his own death because he knows they need something to bring them together.
Yeah, this was never going to work without giving them something.
This is never going to work without something to...
something to die.
I'm a leaf on the... yeah, I just never noticed that before.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure I did on the first watch, or like other watches, but I haven't sat down to like really absorb this movie in a long time. And I don't know, I just remember him dying, and I remembered Fury using his death that way.
Yeah.
With the cards and everything, but I did not remember him like
accepting that dying, was going to happen.
Being like, it's you cool, it's cool, okay. Fury. Do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do, boss.
By the way, they when was the cellist in Portland mentioned first?
When he showed up at Stark Tower.
Yes, but was this the first movie where that happened?
Yes.
It's so funny because they do it in such a subtle way.
Yeah.
He's like talking to someone in a hallway and he's like, oh yeah, she's a cellist, but she had to move to Portland or something like that. Like,
yeah, he was talking to Pepper about that.
Yeah. It's such a weird, like, small thing that they turned into something on Agents.
It humanizes the character. It grounds it in reality so much better.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what else are they going to small talk about? What is Pepper Potts going to small talk about?
What do you mean? Pepper Potts is awesome. What do you have wrong with Pepper Potts?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with Pepper Potts. She's not really a small talker, though.
No, she doesn't do much small talk.
She's like, Phil! Why is he... No, his first name is Agent. So, like, somebody on that level with her, she's going to small talk about their lives.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. It just makes sense.
Hello, this is the life model decoy of Tony Stark.
Mr. Stark, it's urgent. Then leave it urgently.
That's pretty great.
Security breach, it's on you.
I also thought it was the first scene of this movie is Fury, Hawkeye, Zelvig.
Selvig.
S-E-L-V-I-G,
Selvig.
Selvig. And Maria Hill. Those all four characters are characters that either are brand new, in the case of Maria Hill, or have been in a couple scenes, in the case of Hawkeye and Nick Fury, or Selvig, who's a very side character. They're basically very side characters at this point in the universe.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a bold choice. They spend a lot of time, and Coulson's there, a lot of time in the first few scenes. Like, there's a good little 10-minute scene of just people that are not the Avengers. They didn't have to open this with Tony and Cap and Thor and Hulk. It was interestingly done. There's such a great balance to this movie.
They set the groundwork.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, what are we going to do, sir? Well, obviously we're going to assemble the Avengers.
Yeah.
Intro logo, awesome music, Alan Silvestri again composing all of this. Like, the main Avengers theme in this movie was used when we were on stage as the Steampunk Avengers when we were coming out. I used that music as our thing. It was so great.
That's awesome. That's for Jeff's cosplay accomplishments.
That was Dragon Con.
Yeah, it was great. I like when they go around getting every member of the team to join, they know how to get every member of the team. For Banner, it's, first of all, trick him with a little girl to get him outside the city, which was, I love that.
Out of the city, then talk about Gamma stuff.
Yeah, they didn't
invite... You play on his ego.
They didn't invite Hulk. Well, I feel like ego, if they play on egos, we're talking Tony, but they played on his love of science and his desire to be human again and be treated like a scientist, not like a lab experiment, you know?
We don't want the Hulk.
With Cap, they go there, and the first thing they say is, look, it's a Hydra problem. They're like...
And I
love that they... And then they go to Tony, and Tony's just a little more like... They don't really have a direct... They just have to bother Tony into it. Like, they had to force their way in, pretty much. Yeah. Like, Coulson forces his way into the tower, and like, all right, we need your help.
Official consulting hours are... This isn't a consultation.
Yeah.
Read this and come help.
Yeah. I thought it was just interesting how they took a different tact with every member.
Yeah.
And it was just all awesome.
And then Thor just shows up.
Yeah, Thor just shows up. And he's like, never really invited you, but it's cool.
We'll take you, as long as you don't break everything.
Yeah.
Another! This helicarrier, I like it! Another! Another one comes out of the water.
Yeah.
It is a submarine.
I thought the scene where they argue, we've already mentioned Cap and Tony arguing, but that scene is amazingly shot.
Oh, yeah.
It's another long one shot where they go between the different characters and different characters step forward and move back, and it's just so beautiful. It's like a beautiful ballet scene of a shot. Which the other big one in this movie is
in the big battle sequence.
The big battle sequence.
Ooh.
Right, if you're looking for it, everybody, it's right after Natasha jumps up onto the Chitauri ship and takes over the Chitauri ship for herself.
Yeah, that it then shows
an insane one shot that travels up and down these blocks of New York City, showing every member of the Avengers in this battle.
Yeah,
it was real amazing.
Everybody doing their part.
Really, really amazing stuff.
And it shows a lot of them working together for that, because it starts with her,
you know, flying on her little thing, and Iron Man shows up to help her out and, you know, blasts a couple of guys there, and then he drops in to help Cap out, and they do their little combo thing with the shield and the repulsor blast,
yeah,
which was so cool,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, really, really cool.
And then he flies up, and you see Hawkeye, and he, like, knocks off a couple of guys off the building for Hawkeye, helping him out. Hawkeye's doing his thing. He shoots, you know, across the way, shoots that one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you see
Thor and Hulk fighting together.
Rips off a blade of armor, stabs it into the beast.
And then Hulk charges it with lightning and hits it in.
Thor charges it with lightning, yeah.
Like,
crazy. It's crazy cool.
Such teamwork.
Crazy cool.
And then... And then when they crash into Grand Central Station, the Hulk just punches Thor completely out of frame.
Yeah, I want a shirt. I want a shirt that has Thor, Hulk punching Thor, and just says fist bump.
Did you notice though? I didn't notice before this rewatch, whenever Hulk punches Thor like that, there's just this tiny little bit where he just kind of goes humph.
Yeah.
He's just like, showed you.
Yeah, it's great.
I didn't notice that before. The Hulk is awesome.
Yeah, it's just like a little pause after, like, who else do I punch? I take it as him, like, just kind of breathing out and looking for someone else to punch.
All right, now that that's out of my system, punch somebody else. And then, like, when Cap gives all the orders and he just stops on Hulk, he's like, and Hulk? And Hulk's like, yeah? Smash. And then Hulk just grins. And then he jumps up and is like, fuck that one guy in particular really hard. And then that guy. And then that guy. And just Hulk smashing through the city was just so good.
Yep.
It was such a great thing. Like, for him,
I think Hulk did almost as much damage as the Chitauri, though.
Yeah.
Yes, he stopped the Chitauri. It's a good thing, but...
He was breaking some buildings.
Yeah.
But he wasn't breaking them down.
No.
He was just hurting them a little bit.
Man, they don't show anyone die in this battle sequence.
Yeah.
But people died.
There had to have been some deaths. But then they also showed the heroes saving people. Like, Hulk running through that building and then diving out onto the thing and, like, pulling it away from the building and saving all the people. Like, yeah, the glass got knocked out, but, like, that's a really heroic thing for Hulk to do.
Yeah, rewatching it, I just kept... It made me nervous how tight the quarters were. Like, just turning and trying to make it through the city. Man, it was crazy. I love Tony's ridiculous swagger when he's trying to threatening Loki.
Yeah.
Really great.
Should have left your armor on for that.
If you are trying to stall. No, threaten.
Threaten. And he's so like, what do I have to fear? The Avengers. And he looks at him like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tony's like, it's what we call ourselves.
Earth's Mightiest sort of Heroes, that sort of thing.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. So, more and more I talk about it, this movie is flawless. Like, I'm not saying... We talked about Cap, maybe liking Cap better, and I still feel that way, but this movie is flawless. Like, it's so good. Every minute of it... It is by far the most entertaining Marvel movie. I won't say best. It does not evoke the same emotions in me that a lot of the other Marvel movies do.
Yeah.
This one's the most entertaining.
This one just is a lot of fun.
It's so much
fun. Start to finish.
So much fun.
And you know, whenever it first came out, a lot of people were complaining that it was, oh, it's so slow in the beginning, and then the big fight happens, and then it's finally good there.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
No, it was so good. Slow.
It's conversational for a while. Like,
yeah, there's not like huge fight scenes, but there are scraps and quibbles, and there's character building and team building.
That's right.
And that's what you want out of a team movie. You don't want them to just be like, oh, hey guys, now that we're all in the same room, let's fight everything off.
Yeah.
Like, no, these are real human characters. You want them to have emotions and
Jeff, these are not real human characters.
No, they're real human characters. Okay, so these are human characters that are grounded in reality. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And they're going to have emotion. There's going to be
there's going to be egos get in the way. There's going to be, you know, times where Tony thinks he's the baddest one in the room, which is all the time, but he's not.
I think he's kind of the baddest one in the room. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. And they're all great. They really are. I used to really think that Tony was the strength of the MCU. Like, I didn't know if they could get by without Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
The more I do this rewatch, these movies are so good. It doesn't have to, Thor was great. Hulk was not as bad as I remembered. Iron Man's wonderful. Captain America's great.
Think if you were able to redo The Incredible Hulk with Mark Ruffalo
I think it'd be great. And I hope they will do something with the Hulk someday.
Yeah. Hopefully they we'll see what Universal can reach some sort of agreement.
I wonder what Phase 4 is going to be like. No idea over here.
I want some Planet Hulk to happen. Yeah. He goes away for a little bit, conquers a planet, has a son.
Speaking of conquering planets, we get our first official look at Thanos in this movie.
Yes, we do.
And I remember...
And it's really just a grin.
First time I saw that, I did not know who Thanos was.
First time I saw that, I lost my shit.
Yeah.
All over the room.
I bet.
I went nuts.
Man, they have gone so far. That was 2012, which, granted, was...
3 years ago.
Only 3 years ago. That's so recent. And how far they've gone with having another phase of this universe, having another Avengers movie, and now we've got about 4 more years. And
we're into Phase 3.
Phase 3, man. It's going to be so good.
God.
I'm very excited about Phase 3. So excited about Phase 3. And I loved the Earthlings are not as weak as we once believed. To challenge them is to court death. And then he smiles really real big.
That's really very comic booky.
Yes, I know.
Because Thanos is so obsessed with Lady Death.
Yes, as is Deadpool.
Oddly enough, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's really. I'd really like to see like a Deadpool Thanos like conversation. She's mine. No, she's mine.
There's a comic on that right now.
Oh yeah,
Deadpool versus Thanos.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got to win the affections of Lady Death.
Yeah.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, in the comics, Thanos is obsessed with the personification of death in Lady Death.
Yep.
And
he's always trying to impress her by, like, slaughtering a planet.
Oh, it's so crazy.
He's just like, let me send you all of the souls and make your job hell because you have to do so much work.
I don't know if that's how it works.
Is it not? No. Okay. Well, he's just like, look how much death I can bring.
Yeah.
And she's just like, it's okay, I guess.
But you understand, I'm Lady Death. I bring all the death.
All of it.
And of course, the final... after credit sequence, the shawarma.
The shawarma. You know, this movie is what prompted me to ever have shawarma.
Yeah.
I love shawarma.
Oh, good. It's so good. I still haven't had shawarma. I meant to.
You got
to
go to Najee's. Right. Najee's has the best shawarma in our area, and they've got a Groupon right now.
Sweet. Let's go.
Okay. Right now?
I'm down. I got an hour. I got to play a show in 1 hour. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to show it. Yeah. I'm going to be there in an hour.
Okay.
Anyway, so the shawarma scene, I timed it for the first time. 35 seconds. So 35 seconds of them just eating shawarma. It's so good.
And it's the funniest thing in the world.
I laughed and laughed. I was that's the thing. I was super quiet because I thought for sure they were going to say something or do something.
Yep.
And then it's just 35 seconds of the entire audience waiting with bated breath to see what's going to happen. And then
Thor takes a huge bite and it just ends.
That's so good.
It was so funny. When Thor does that, he talked about that.
Sorry.
He talked about that in a in a group interview later. He was like, you had us do that take like 4 times. I ate 3 of those things. I was so full.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. I need to watch all the special features and stuff on these things.
You really do.
Because I really haven't done that, which is so dumb. Just so dumb.
There's gag reels and everything. Oh, that reminds me. There's more gag reel type stuff hit the web today for Age of Ultron.
Oh, really?
Yep. Which comes out in 2 weeks?
Nice.
No. It comes out next Friday.
All right. Well, we will have it on our Amazon store. If you guys are going to buy it anyway,
it's already
buy
there.
It from our Amazon store.
It's already there.
It's already there. So it comes out in 2 weeks. Go to...
It's out for digital download already, but it comes out like on Blu-ray and physical media next Friday.
Well, go to MCUcast.com right now. If you're going to buy the movie, go to MCUcast.com, click on the Amazon link on the left-hand side, and buy it there. It will cost the same, and it will help the podcast. It would be really great, anyone who's going to do that. I'll probably do it myself.
There you go.
Woo!
That's how I'm going to get it.
But it really helps out the podcast. We get a little bitty kickback of any sales that we make in the little store. So
yeah,
that would be great,
guys. Amazon's real nice like that.
Yeah.
They're just like, you know what? We're going to charge people the same thing, but you get a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Since you brought the business here, that's you get a little bit of it.
Yeah. So please, if you're going to buy Age of Ultron this week, buy it from our Amazon store. That's all I have to say about the Avengers.
We've talked at great length about this film.
And it was
being
fun.
So good. And thanks, it has been fun.
Thanks for coming and listening this week, you guys. We are the Marvel Smegger Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Podcast.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.